Father, as always, we thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to gather together with your children for fellowship. Praise the Lord. As it is written, they continued daily in the apostles' doctrine and in prayers and in breaking of bread from house to house. Praise the Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you've made it possible through this technology space to have daily fellowship. Praise the Lord. And Lord, we declare this morning that the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. Even so, let it be. And we ask, O Lord, that that fire will continue to burn on our altars and will never be put out. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to share this brief exhortation with us today. We'll be continuing the Book of Romans series later today. I want to read some scriptures. First, I'm going to read from with us today. Praise the Lord. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, well, this is Leviticus chapter 6, verse 8. Command Aaron and his sons, saying, this put upon his flesh and take up the ashes which the fire consumed with a burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And then he shall put off his garments and put on other garments and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place. And that fire, notice, the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereof the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out. Now, this was the law of the burnt offering that they were giving. It's called the ever-burning fire upon the altar. There was a role that the priest had to play. It was his responsibility to make sure that the fire never went out. He must put wood upon that fire every morning. Well, if the fire burnt all night, well, in the morning, shake things up again, make sure that, you know, the fire does not go out. Praise the Lord. We'll come back to that in a minute. So, but let me read in the book of Isaiah. Let's read this question that's thrown out to us today and see if we can answer it. Isaiah chapter 33, praise the Lord. I'm going to read from verse 13, but verse 14 is really where I'm going. Hallelujah. Hear ye that are afar off what I have done, and even ye that are near, acknowledge my might. For the sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness hath surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? And that's the question. Yeah. And here's the answer. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding up bribes, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil, even he shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given to him, and his waters shall be sure. Praise the Lord. Thine eyes also shall see the king in his beauty. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Shall even behold the land that is very afar off. You know, we're going to see even things yet to come. The Lord will meditate, will show us those things as we meditate upon him. But the question is, who shall dwell with the devouring fire? And who shall dwell among everlasting burnings? Well, there is a burning and a fire that the Lord commanded us to put in place. But there is also appearances of the Lord many times with fire and flame and wheels of fire and burnings and turnings. And sometimes his eyes like flames of fire. Sometimes, you know, fire issuing out before him and things like that. And oftentimes we find some scriptures, you know, that would ask us questions such as this, you know, and how do you get into his presence? For instance, in Psalm 15, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle and who shall dwell in thy holy hill? Well, question is almost similar to the one, the answer is almost similar to the one we read in Isaiah 33. He that walketh uprightly and walketh righteousness and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbor, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. In whose eyes a vile person is contemned, he honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not, he that putteth not out his money to usury, not taketh reward against the innocent, that doeth these things, shall never be moved. Let's talk a little bit about this burning fire and how to rekindle the flame, how to make sure the fire never goes out. And why does the Lord use fire in so many, for so many things and some of his appearances? You know, even throughout the journeys of the children of Israel, we see that there was the glory of the Lord in the fire by night, and the cloudy pillar by day was all around them, but at night it glowed, you know, like fire. And here is what the Lord said in Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 5. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies, you know, that means in their homes and then their gatherings. Now, this is for Mount Zion. But if we consider ourselves to be part of that spiritual Mount Zion, then we might consider that this promise that he said is unto us as well. Before I read the rest of the promise, let's find out why we should consider ourselves as part of the recipients of this promise. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, from verses 18 through about, you know, maybe 26 or so. But let's read through it. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest, the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the words should not be spoken to them anymore. We read that in Exodus chapter 20, when they heard the thunderings, saw the lightnings, and heard some heavy voice. And they were afraid, and they told Moses, we don't want to hear this word anymore. You go hear it and come tell it to us. This is what it's referring to. They to whom the word was given, God gave them an invitation in Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. He said, you are a peculiar people, but you must be a priest unto me. Okay? You know, give them an invitation. You'll be a chosen kingdom of priests unto me. And but the people said, at first, yes, we will do it. Then later, you know, when they saw phenomena such as fire on the mountain, thunderings and lightnings and voices and stuff, they said, well, we can't do it. If we hear it, we shall die. So you go hear it and come tell it to us. So they wouldn't do it. The voice which they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. Isn't that lamentable? You know, why in the world would anybody not want to hear the word of the Lord directly? Why would you want it to be reported only to you secondhand when God gave you an option to hear it firsthand? Well, they thought the voice was too strong for them and that they would die if they heard it. You know, if God wanted to kill you, you'll be dead already. You know, but God wanted them to hear his voice directly. Now, he said unto them, they could not endure that which was commanded. And at that time, you know, they were told, if a beast so much as touch the mountain, he shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart or a spear. And the, you know, so terrible was the sight that even Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. And all of that was then, he said. He said, but this is now. Ye are now come. He said, well, that was then, you're not, you know, that's not what we're dealing with now. But now you have come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Well, and he gives a commandment now. See this time around that you do not refuse him that speaketh, because they that refused, said, for if they that refused at that time, him that spake on earth, you know, they did not escape. Much more now shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signified the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Another depiction of God in fire. But here, I read this just to show that we are part of this new assembly that is now called Mount Zion. called the Heavenly Jerusalem. It has an innumerable company of angels in it. You may or may not see it. You know, it's called the General Assembly and Church of the Firstborn. And they are written in heaven. Now, if we are the new Zion or composite part of it, then this promise in Isaiah chapter 4 and verse 5 applies to us or pertaineth to us as well. And here is the promise. The Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon all her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day. That's right. And the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense. Hallelujah. There shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. The pillar of cloud by day, the shining, cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. It's going to be, you know, that's how the Lord will preserve his people. At this end time, the Lord will create it, he said. Well, but who shall abide in that space? And who shall dwell in that everlasting burning? Well, first of all, you know, we are commanded as priests to keep that fire burning. You say priests? Well, sure. In the book of Revelation, three, a couple of places where the Lord addresses or tells us that we have been made priests and kings. And if so, then we must know what belongs to us. Now, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, Revelation 1 and 4. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, when which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and is the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us that the Lord has already, this is in the past tense, doesn't say that the Lord will make us priests and kings, but he said the Lord has made us kings and priests. And so if we are already priests and kings to the Lord, well, everything that pertained to the priests of the New Testament, well, pertained to us then. Again, let's see in the book of Revelation chapter 5, this is even more comprehensive. It was written within, and on the backside had seven seals. And this book was held in the hand of him that sat on the throne. John saw it. And that there was a strong angel that proclaimed with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof. There was found no man in heaven nor on earth, neither under the earth, nobody to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I began to weep much, John said, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. Then one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as he had been slain, having the seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, every one of them having harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. Now, these people were priests, and priests are the ones that offer up prayers. And they sang a new song, saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." So these people were a cross-section and a representation of all the peoples out of the earth that God had redeemed from every nation. "And has made us unto our God kings and priests." It's already made us such. "And we shall reign on the earth." Now, so unto priests belong this responsibility of keeping the fire burning. You might think of priests as a, you know, the people, if you look in the Old Testament, they had certain responsibilities. You know, they had to administer certain rituals and rites and sacrifices and so forth, standing before the Lord for the people, you know, and sometimes also they had to certify the people for those that had infectious diseases such as leprosy in those days. It could spread very quickly. They were confined to being outside the camp, outside the city. But if at any time they believed that their leprosy was cleansed, well, there was an ordinance that they had to go show themselves to the priest. And the priest would certify them that, yep, you are free to re-enter society. So the priest had all these things that they did. You know, and some people still think of, you know, the priesthood like that only. But there's a new priesthood. I came in with Christ, not same as the Levitical priesthood, which had a lot of these sacrifices and various things they did. Hebrews gives us that comparison. The priesthood in Christ is different. It's after the order of Melchizedek, which is different. But under this new priesthood, we are all priests and kings, those that have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Unto you belong the responsibility of keeping the fire burning. Well, in a congregation such as this, you know, perhaps, you know, a few persons may be charged with the responsibility of bringing the word and putting the wood on the fire daily. But in the altar, upon the altar of our lives and upon your family altar, and everybody has these altars that they must keep the fire burning on. We all have that responsibility. And it is the glory of the Lord that is expressed in the fire. The Lord loves to do that around his people. And it also has preservative properties. What of the would-be destroyers? We saw that in the case of Pharaoh and his armies, you know, charging down on the children of Israel after they left Egypt. And what kept them at bay was the pillar of fire, the cloudy pillar, the pillar of fire. The horses and the chariots couldn't get through the fire. And so we see that, you know, that pillar of fire, it's called a defense here in Isaiah. A defense from what exactly? Well, there are many things that the enemy throws at the children of God from time to time, but more so at this end of age, to the point where he may even weary the saints, we're told in the book of Daniel. Weary the saints, I mean, bring all kinds of things against us to the point that, you know, People might actually get weary and tired. But that's, those are people that are not dwelling, you know, among the, I mean, are not dwelling under the everlasting fire. They're not keeping it burning. I tell them, when you'll be discouraged. If you knew your role, you know that every day you got to crank up the fire again. Discouragement, you know, physical ailments and different disappointments and so forth. The devil tries to use to discourage people. Such things will not prevail against you because it'll always crank up the fire, keep it burning. And what does it mean for us on this platform to keep the fire burning? Well, it also means that, you know, we do it every day, you know, under every condition, no matter what. We must keep that fire burning. As a matter of fact, to certain people that are instructed to bring the word of God, you know, the scripture teaches them, you know, such as, you know, what Paul said to Timothy, you know, he said, look, you must preach this word, right? And you got to preach it. You be instant, in season, and out of season. Well, that means, in season means, well, when you are well prepared, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. You know, so he's saying, well, give it to them early, because there's coming a time they won't endure it. You know, so the preaching of the word must be with sound doctrine. And the preaching of the word is an instrument like the wood that helps to keep that fire burning. For you as an individual, it also means the, you know, reading and meditating, reading of and meditating on the Word of God daily helps to keep that fire burning. Many other things such as prayer, such as, you know, devotion and time spent with the Lord and things like that. And all the ordinances that are given us in the scriptures, such as fasting, prayer, you know, giving of alms and all the things, ordinances, you know, that given. Fellowship also, you know, all these things help to keep the fire burning. But what are the things that can put out that fire? Well, if reading the word helps to keep the fire burning, then absence from the word will, you know, put out that fire gradually. And in other words, if you don't, you know, read the word, meditate on it, it's kind of like a person that doesn't eat for very long. Eventually they begin to get emaciated and, you know, they may even starve after a long time, starve to death. And so, same way, if we're not feeding our spirit with the word of God, that fire may be going out. If we're not walking uprightly, we read those things, who shall dwell among the everlasting fire, the burnings, and even Psalm 15, walking uprightly, you know, eschewing evil, backbiting with their tongue, keeping the integrity of their heart before the Lord. If we're doing these things, well, he that doeth these things is the one that will stand in the presence of the Lord. But if we are not doing these things, then the fire will be going out. And if at any time we see that the fire is going out, what must we do? Well, you must rekindle. And that rekindling must be done daily. Not after many days, you know. And then the fire is already dead and you spend a lot of time trying to crank that thing up. You crank it up already daily. Praise the Lord. You know, the wisdom here is that if we do it daily, we do the things daily to help keep that fire burning, well, the fire will not go out. But if we don't do it daily, then the fire might go out. In the early church, not only, you know, did they have their own personal times of prayer and different things, but they also had, you know, opportunity to get together. Of course, there were not very many, and their cities were small, and they gathered together. And churches in those days were cities, and maybe in the house, a church in the house, and then the city. They come together. Today, cities are too large. Well, everybody that believes the Lord will come together in one place. And we have sometimes large cities may have hundreds of churches. You know, but thanks be unto God, we have this opportunity. And so we must take that opportunity and we praise the Lord for it. You know, here's what it said in Acts chapter 2, verse 46. They continuing daily in one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house and so forth. Well, we are not going from house to house, but we have the opportunity of doing this fellowship virtually together every day. And so we must do it and we must be consistent in putting wood on the fire on our own altars so that the fire does not go out. Praise the Lord. It also says here that they continued steadfastly in verse 42 in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And they did that daily. Praise the Lord. Now, the Lord grant grace to everyone to keep the fire burning. Praise the Lord. Keep the fire burning. Check it out every day. Make sure the lamps are not going out. You know, Jesus told the parable of the 10 virgins that went out to meet the bridegroom. And after a long time, the lamps went out. And it looked like the going out of the lamps happened to all of them. Both the ones that are classified as wise, as well as even the ones that are foolish. The lamps all went out.
Give me the phone there.
The lamps went out for everybody, but they had to trim their lamps again. There's a lamp trimming time. For us, the lamp trimming time is really every day. That's the exhortation that I want to bring today. We don't need to wait until we are all slumbering and tired and long waiting. We need to trim the lamps every day. There is a season that we have entered into of the lamp trimming time, that's for sure. But it's really daily according to the law of the burnt offering given to the priests. And according to the word of the Lord that was given unto us on this platform also, we must trim the lamps, well, or put wood on the fire, same thing, A lamp is a small instrument that's carried to give fire and light, you know, but the altar is, you know, a larger piece of the same kind of thing. In the lamp, you may use a wick and some oil. On the altar, you use wood and different things. And, you know, the effect is the same. So it's our responsibility to keep that fire burning. Praise and worship. Powerful way to enter into his presence. You know, and while you're doing it with meditating upon the word, the Holy Spirit speaks. And it will bring to our remembrance even the things that the Lord already spoke to us. That's what Jesus said. He said, the Spirit of truth, when he comes, he'll bring all things to your remembrance that I already spoke to you. Furthermore, he'll tell you new things. That's right. Show you things to come. He'll remind you of what I told you before, but he'll also give you new things too. And we get that in a place, in a posture of praise and worship and prayer before the Lord. What if I can't come to fellowship? That's a question. Well, you, for whatever reason, you can't come. You should come. The Bible says we should not neglect. If you're not neglecting, but you can't come, perhaps because of scheduling and different things, or, you know, physical impairment or whatever, well, we can still establish a place of fellowship and an altar in your heart before the Lord. That's right. That fellowship must never be broken. Whether a fellowship with the Lord by yourself or with other believers, that fire must never be put out. You know, and there will be times, and there are coming times, when you may not be able to get to fellowship with other believers. But if you have established a routine of fellowship with the Lord on your own, well, then you can still keep that fire burning. Praise the Lord. So today, I want us to examine our altars. And sometimes the altar itself needs to be repaired. The altars that are broken down may need to be repaired, and the wood restored, and so forth, and cranked up. You know, the story of Elijah versus the prophets of the groove and prophets of Baal and Ahab and all that. He had to repair the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Excuse me. So, we must repair the altar that's broken down, if it is. And we must crank up wood on it. What does altar broken down means? Well, it means you had a routine where you were maintaining that altar, but for some reason you got away from it. And the altar, instead of doing what it's usually doing, which is burning of the fire every day, it's gone out and it's laid waste. You know, because we got away from that routine. So get back to it. And there are some people in the scriptures that made prayer a business. Daniel was one of them. The early church, the time of prayer, etc. You know, so we get to that, get back to that place and stay with it. Praise the Lord. There's all kinds of distractions that try to get us away and get that altar broken down and distract you from the routine that will maintain that ever burning fire. Well, we must examine our altar and see if it's been broken down and crank it up again, you know, reset the stones and the wood on the altar, put the fire on it and keep an eye on that fire. Let it never go out. If it has a tendency of going out, you know, something trying to derail you from your routine of personal worship and prayer and digging deeper with the Lord walking in that everlasting fire and the glory of the Lord, then, you know, we got to do what you need to do. Is take away the distractions. There's a lot of distractions. Jesus told the parable of the sower. He said, well, there's, you know, some kind where the seed, you know, fell among thorns and sprang up, but was choked by all kinds of distractions. And so we got to be careful against those distractions. Praise the Lord. I want us to go into a time of prayer and say, Lord, help me to keep that fire burning. It's a song we used to sing back in the day. Say, well, give me oil in my lamp. You know, keep me burning, burning, burning. Well, you know, this is fire on the altar. Must burn, burn, burn. We got to make sure our fire is burning. Many other things, praying in the Holy Spirit help to keep that fire burning. Jude 20 calls it one of the things that you need to do, you know, keep your faith built up. Building spiritual capacity daily in the word, reading of the words, meditating upon the word, prayer, praying in the spirit as well, praising the Lord, you know, sometimes fasting and so forth, and fellowship and all these things we've talked about will help. And then we need to sharpen our spiritual senses to identify the little foxes that spoil the vine. What are those little foxes? Well, unforgiveness, number one. You know, bitterness in our hearts, you know, backbiting, and the pointing of the finger, and all of these things, and laying a stumbling block in the, you know, in the path of others, and unbelief in our hearts, you know, disregarding the word of God when people say, well, that doesn't matter. I mean, these are all the things that can quickly put that fire out. And once you discover any such agents that are trying to put out your fire, you must come out against it and do the needful to make sure your fire keeps burning. Bring wood and bring all these elements every day to the altar. Make sure it keeps burning. Jesus told the Laodicean church, he said, well, you know, I found you to be lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. Well, if you are cold, then we know you're cold. If you're hot, we know you're hot. But if you are in between, well, Jesus said, it's distasteful to his mouth, and it's going to spill them out. So lukewarm water is distasteful. Cold water might be good for whatever it's good for. Hot water might be good for whatever it's good for. But lukewarm, he said, no. You know, but God would rather that we were hot. Many times, Jesus would rebuke the people for prayerlessness, his disciples. And so, well, you better pray. And so the element of prayerlessness is another one that can quickly put that fire out. But the more we can pray, spend time in his presence, when you pray, make sure it's not just vain repetition. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 6. So when you pray, do not use vain repetition as the heathens do, for they suppose that they shall be heard, for they are much speaking. So your Father already knows what things you have need of, but, you know, pray after this manner, he taught them. But we must pray. And when we pray, we must believe. And also, you must listen when we pray. Most of the times, we don't. We just tell God a bunch of things that we want him to do, and then we move on. Well, you know, that's not the kind of prayer that will help to keep your, you know, altar fire burning. You must listen while we pray. Speak to God, and God will speak back to you. And he will instruct you. You know, Psalm 32 and verse 8 says, well, I'll guide you with my eye. I will instruct you in the way that I should go. I will instruct you. But instruction is a two-way thing. Instruction when giving must also be received and acted upon. And so, if the instructor gives the instruction and the recipient does not receive it or do anything with it, then it's not effective. So God's instruction, I will instruct you in the way that you should go, and I will guide you with my eye. Well, that instruction must, you know, we must pay attention to that instruction. It must be carried out. That's how we enjoy his ultimate protection. Praise the Lord. So, Father, I thank you, Lord, for our brief exhortation today. We pray that each of us, the Holy Spirit will speak to us in reminding us of the things that we did in the past to keep that fire burning. Jesus said, return to your first love. Crank up that fire again. Do the first works. Otherwise, I'll come to you and remove your candlestick from its place. I pray that we will not have our candlestick removed. You give us the grace to understand how to keep the fire on our altars burning, and to bring wood every morning. It's fresh new things that we can find in this Word of God. We spend time in it. Holy Spirit will continually reveal fresh things to the loving inquirers and the worthy seekers. Praise the Lord. So we thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and give you, Lord, the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.